Now, when he said he met a cat, I was thinking of like 1970s, like, you're a cool cat, Dan Digman.
I am.
You are. So what about you, cool cat Digman?
Hi there, and welcome to this, the 31st episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And what we will talk about today is accessible van issues.
Speaking of rolling, I think that's perfect because our van is not rolling. Well, it's rolling, but I'm not sure about its last leg.
Yeah. I think, and this is what we're talking about, is just the realities of what it comes to when you're living with a disability and need an accessible van, just the challenges that come with that. I mean, because we're dealing with that, like, right in our faces. Is it, can I say our faces? Does that work?
I think that works very well because, to be perfectly honest, we were getting ready to take a road trip, and being good vehicle owners getting ready to take a road trip, we took our beloved van into the shop just to get an oil change and get it kind of looked at before we took our journey. And I giggle because the people that serviced our car said, "Your car is so rusty. We don't feel it's safe to put it on a hoist."
There was like a 3-inch hole in the frame of the van that was like right below the engine block, and they were not able to position the hoist underneath it because it would be going into said rust hole. And those are realities of living with any vehicle, but just how much things shift and change when you're dealing with an accessible van. And we wanted to just talk about realities of things that people just don't think about when they're not living with a disability and needing an accessible van, and how much that changes things and changes the dynamics and what we have to live with when you have an accessible van, but then provide tips for those who are living with a disability and need an accessible van, just ways you can troubleshoot and overcome the challenges you face when you have an accessible van.
And the irony is not lost on me. Certainly, I was thinking it's been almost 20 years. Like, it's June. It's been over 20 years since I've driven a car or my minivan by myself. I don't use hand controls, but it has been over 20 years, and I'm the one somewhat making this need known that we needed a new van. And as I said, we took it in to get it serviced. And when you hear that it's not exactly roadworthy to take a 500-mile journey, and then you double that, so it'd be over 1,000 miles, it really lights a fire under you to get a vehicle that is safe and dependable. Thus, Dan Digman has been looking at more minivans and talking about accessible vehicles for a few days now, and hopefully by the time we do our 32nd podcast, we will have a new accessible vehicle.
And those are the realities. It's that we've long since probably needed a van. I think we first started pursuing a different van, and I looked on my email and everything, and dealing and communicating with the dealer of an accessible van, and it was in February of 2021, and we didn't push forward with it because, you know, we needed something back in early 2020, but because of said pandemic, we weren't traveling anywhere, so why not save the money until you need it? And so we looked 2021 and saying, oh, well, do we need one? And then you're just like, I mean, they're expensive because you're not only buying the van itself, the vehicle itself, but you have to pay for all of the modifications to have like a ramp, and whether it's an automatic ramp to drop down so that you can drive your wheelchair into said ramp or said van. They're expensive, and so how much do you want to put into a van that we've had? It's a 2007 van, and so it's like, how much money do you want to keep putting into this van? I mean, it's only got like 134,000 miles on it. So, I mean, for something that's from 2007, that's not bad mileage wise, but it's just like wear and tear of a vehicle that rides lower to the ground because
in Michigan winters, yes, with the salt on the roads. And just like you said, the wear and tear and being close to the ground, and then having my weight and the weight of my power chair in the vehicle, part of the modification that you were talking about, Dan, is lowering the floor of the minivan so that it can have a little more room so that I can drive. If you can visualize out there in listener land, I drive my power chair with me sitting into it up a ramp, and I'm in the body of the van. So I don't have to transfer out of my chair, which, because I'm living with multiple sclerosis, that makes my life a lot easier and the life of my caregivers a lot easier. So that's, you know, we're fortunate that we live close enough to a dealership that modifies vehicles and has a good number of vehicles for sale. But if you don't, I mean, here in Mount Pleasant, which is where we live, there are about 10 car dealerships, whether it's used or new dealerships, but pretty close to 10. The closest accessible vehicle dealership is 35 miles away. And yes, I feel selfish saying that because there are some places that don't even have an accessible dealership within 100 miles. So I can't be greedy, but it's just the reality that if I need a new car, like when you find out when you're getting your oil changed that your floor is rotting or rusting, that I have to go a half an hour and then I'm somewhat at the mercy of what the dealership has. Certainly you can call any car dealership and they can arrange possibly to get a handicap accessible vehicle in their fleet, but you're still kind of at the mercy.
Well, and you're dealing with that then as you're talking about, you know, local dealerships that, sure, they could they call and get something sent, driven, shipped to your local dealership, but it's like they're not 100% knowledgeable about accessible vans and what's needed, what, you know, how we're doing. And I mean, and those are the things where it's just like it makes it that much more difficult, I think. And that's where our reality, we were going to go back to Iowa to our niece's graduation open house. And we just, I mean, there's no way. I mean, it was like a week turnaround. I mean, I think you'd be hard pressed if you just needed a new car, but you certainly open up, it makes it a lot easier if all you have to do is go to one of 10 local dealerships, and, or you can even shop around for things, you know, within the area. But I mean, then you're talking, you know, one person maybe going to see, but I mean, I can't just go somewhere and find a vehicle and pick it out, because you need to be there with me, and thereby then we have to drive the van. And I think it's roadworthy for, you know, regional driving, but the thought of driving through Chicago with a van, and I think, you know, it's just that to be safe, and those are deals that you're just not ready, you don't want to deal with, because you feel like you're dealing with enough already with all the issues of, you know, accessible travel.
And I completely agree with you, Dan, that it's frightening for me because I'm dramatic, but I giggle again because I have this image of my head of like the Flintstone mobile where Dan and I are driving through traffic and all of a sudden, poof, there goes Jennifer. She falls out the van and my legs are dangling, although they wouldn't be dangling because they're in my wheelchair, but in my story, my legs are dangling. And it's not funny, and that's a frightening reality. So, you know, it is the day of the internet and you can buy cars looking online, but I don't know how many people out there would really want to just buy a vehicle having never test driven it or seen it up close. And we're lucky again in Michigan that there are 4 or 5 different accessible dealerships, one of them being 35 minutes away. But it's still, that's kind of a long distance. But I'm really excited that we're going to be able to look for a car, a minivan, like in less than a week. Woo-woo. You know, so that's exciting. And then, you know, we'll be able to do things. But there's just so much that has to go in to getting a vehicle. And it's a process. It was kind of like I was telling you, Dan. When you're first diagnosed with MS and you start to have problems with your gait, with walking, you may transition into using a cane. And then the cane may need a little more support, so you'll get a quad cane. This is a progression that I know very well because this is kind of how it was for me. So I went from a cane to a quad cane to a walker, and then eventually a scooter, and then a wheelchair. And hopefully, you know, with the medication that's available now, most people living with MS won't do that. But for me, I did, and I went from a scooter, like a cane, quad cane, walker, scooter. And it was the scooter that I got my first handicap accessible vehicle in, that I had a hoist on the back where I was still walking and driving, but I could get an Amigo scooter, like a 3-wheeled chair scooter, into my vehicle. So that if I had to go places where I had to do a lot of walking. So that was my first venture into more accessible vehicles.
Well, and that's where, you know, the challenge with that is we talk about, you know, the 35 miles to the nearest dealership and that has accessible vans. It's just the reality that when we call and check in, they essentially had like one vehicle that was like in our price range, and that's, I mean, and in fairness, that, you know, they could get other vans, but you're just like, as far as readily accessible vehicles, and you know, this is no way, shape, or form to complain or whatever. It's just more pointing out the realities that, you know, what people don't normally think. It'd be one thing to say, oh, we had to get a new vehicle. Well, again, to people who don't need accessible vehicles, it's a pretty easy process in the grand scheme of things, relatively speaking. But I mean, these are just our realities, and that we had to give up this trip to Iowa and another trip that we were planning just because of not having the vehicle to make that trip.
And that is, I mean, you know, that's unfortunate. As my, you know, I was talking about how my first vehicle had a hoist in the back so I could get my scooter, my Amigo, into the van. And as my MS has progressed, and since Dan and I have been married, I have gone into a power chair, and it's been very nice over the years that we've had vehicles where my power chair locks into the van. And that's the kind of vehicle we were going to take. That's Casper, because of course I name everything. And that's what I named our minivan, or what we named our minivan. And we were going to take Casper to Iowa for this trip for Leah's graduation. And congratulations, Leah. But it's just the reality that we can't do that. And we're not even sure about how roadworthy the van is to drive those 35 miles to look for a new vehicle. So, you know, we want certainly the features and the easy lock where I can lock my power chair into the vehicle. And we have, you know, it needs to have a ramp. It would be nice if it wasn't the kind of ramp that Dan has to manually get out of the van, or when it's cold, because it is Michigan, that he can push a button in the van. We'll lower the ramp, and that sounds very spoiled, but, you know, for the amount of money that these vehicles cost and the technology, that's a small feature that we would like. So Dan doesn't have to get out in snowy Michigan winter to get the ramp out.
Well, and that's what we've been dealing with. And I think it's just that, you know, you have MS and everything, but so do I. And as a caregiver, that certainly then makes traveling easier. And it's just like, I don't want to sound spoiled like, oh, boo-hoo, that you guys still travel and do that. I mean, but those are just our realities of what we're dealing with. And I think where we go from here, and that's just what it is. I mean, did you ever think when you were diagnosed, when you had your first accessible van, that these would be your realities? You talk about having the hoist, you know, the thing that you could lift your Amigo up and back and then walk around. I mean, did you ever think you would have to deal with the realities of a ramp and an easy lock where you could lock your chair in?
No, because as you say this, I'm smiling from ear to ear because I'm thinking about our honeymoon. We're closing on our 17-year anniversary. And our honeymoon, I was still in that Amigo, that three-wheeled vehicle that I didn't have to wear a seatbelt. And I didn't lock into the minivan. So I sat kind of, it was illegal, let's be honest. I probably I wasn't supposed to ride in a vehicle like that. But, you know, we drove on our honeymoon and I sat behind you. And
I would have broken your fall.
Yeah, hopefully. But we sat like that. And how many years? Probably maybe 5 years into our marriage before we progressed into that vehicle where I could drive a power chair and lock into the front seat of the minivan so I could legitimately ride shotgun, sit right next to my husband. And I remember how excited we were. And now the idea of not having me sit right next to you and me not being in the front seat is really upsetting because just because I have multiple sclerosis doesn't mean I don't deserve to sit in the front of the van. And likewise, if I wasn't, I don't want to say I'm a scaredy cat, but I'm a little scaredy cat. And a lot of people with this disease still maintain the hand control and the arm strength where they can sit in the driver's seat and drive a van for themselves. And we just, you know, vans, accessible vans, you can take out the driver's seat and put that easy lock mechanism in the driver's seat and you lock your wheelchair and you drive. And that just hasn't been something I've been comfortable with over these 20 years. And I'm perfectly comfortable to nag at you and ride in the front seat. And I think that's why it's so exciting. You know, you ask if I ever thought about that. But I just remember when we got the vehicle, our vehicle, Indigo, where I could sit in the front seat right next to you. I was so excited. And it was so wonderful that it opened up. I mean, the world is such a different view when you're sitting right next to the driver. And so if your MS is worsening, I don't want to rush you or, you know, anything like that. But just don't lose hope that you can ride in the van or ride in a car and you're not able to continue doing things that you enjoy, like traveling.
Well, and I think that's the big question that, I mean, for you and me, this we had counted, this will be like our fourth van that we've had since we got married. And it's just a question, I mean, for us, I mean, and it's exciting. I mean, I didn't like the fact that we had to miss out on some major events and traveling, but it's just like, I don't want to say it's old hat for us, but, you know, we've been there, done that, and we have a dealership that we go to. We have somebody that we work with that we're comfortable. And, you know, our bank, you know, my bank knows me and we can work that out. But so I think it's a big process, but at the same time, it's like at least familiar territory for us. So I want to ask you, and then for people out there in listener land, just to give them some insights and tips for when they go to get an accessible vehicle, you know, kind of tips, tricks of the trade, things to look for. What would be the big, like your first step moving forward in getting an accessible van?
Well, except the fact that you can't. I mean, for me, it was difficult to. I remember when we would go to the neurologist, I would need help from two grown men to get me into the passenger seat of a minivan because I was weak. And so if you're thinking about getting some sort of accessible transportation, you need to accept the fact that your disease is worsening. And while your disease is worsening, you don't want to give up being active and being able to do things. So my first thing would be accepting of what's going on and know what you need. Maybe you can get a hoist or something to put like an Amigo or a scooter in the back of your car or van because you can still walk and you just need help for the long distances. So figure out what you need and do you need to stay in your power chair? Are you a power chair user? Will you be able to drive or will you be riding predominantly? So where would you need an easy lock? And reach out and find a dealer around you because, you know, we went to Iowa or where did we go where we found a dealer that was able to rent us a vehicle?
Oh, that was down in Texas.
Yeah, that's right. We were able to rent a vehicle in Texas and start saving your money. These vehicles are not cheap, but I mean, I think if people take good care of their cars, which if you get a handicapped vehicle, you'll drive them as long as you can and you'll take care of them and you'll sell them, but just get what you can afford. And just know what you need, you know, know the language so that when you are speaking, I mean, it's nerve-wracking enough to get a car. I remember what it was like when I was still walking and I bought one car from a car dealer and I was so nervous. And then, you know, if you're a little limited in your use of your legs, that can be nerve-wracking. I know sitting in a wheelchair, it's a little intimidating when everyone else is so much taller than me. And I'm a tall gal. So if I'm sitting in my chair and I feel short, I feel for people that are shorter or smaller than me. So just don't be too intimidated and know your stuff. Do your homework, know what to ask for, and talk with other accessible people. You would not believe the number of times I go to the grocery store or I'm out in public and someone sees our vehicle and they'll ask either Dan or my caregiver Jen or they'll ask me, oh, that's so neat. And I love showing it off because it is really nice and it does make the world much, much more accessible for me.
Well, and then I wanted to ask you this question then as you talked about going into it, just being accepting of, you know, the reality that you need an accessible vehicle. I'll ask you then, for the same reason, you know, people, if they are apprehensive about needing to use a wheelchair and just how people say, you know, or they say, oh, we're confined by a wheelchair. And it's just like, if anything, that wheelchair is what gives you your independence. Does that same frame of mind work and translate also then to accepting the reality that your accessible van, don't think of it as taking a step backwards. It's really, this is making progress and, you know, your key to independence.
I think very much so. You know, I talk about like being lawbreakers when we went on our honeymoon, but we were able to go to Canada you know, we were able to do that because we had an accessible vehicle and I was able to drive my scooter into the van. And so having an accessible vehicle really opens the world up for me. And it's ironic. I'm a big fan of art. And I'm kind of, you know, I've always been a Vincent Van Gogh fan, but let's be honest, who has seen his art and doesn't totally dig it? But we were supposed to go see a Vincent Van Gogh immersive experience, kind of corresponding with this trip to Iowa. And because our van won't go, we're not seeing Van Gogh. And so that's, you know, just again, another reality about MS is my legs won't take me. And unfortunately, right now, my van won't take me. So you have to accept it. But like I said, hopefully the next time we do a podcast, we will have a vehicle. And it will have, I feel very Mr. Rogers. I'll have stories. Have stories to share with you next time. So,
absolutely. And I think that those are just realities. And I think that's really what we wanted to get across this time, is just that, just the value of an accessible vehicle for traveling, for independence, but just the realities that come with it, that it's not easy to just up and say, oh, I'll get a new vehicle. I mean, when you're dealing with accessible vans, accessible vehicles, and ways to get around, there's a lot more that goes into it.
It's not easy, but nothing easy. You know, it doesn't mean that you should give up and not do it. If it's worth having, it's worth putting the work in. Know what you're asking for. Know what you need. Know the language. Know the technology. Be really informed. These are expensive vehicles, and it's not like Dan and I are potentially getting a new van that we're going to keep for a year or two. We're in this for the long haul. So just set your expectations. This might be difficult, but in the end, it will be worth it.
And that's, and it is worth it. And I think we, you know, we say, oh, our van, we did so much with this van and got a lot out of it. And I mean, Is it still roadworthy? Yeah, it still drives, it still works, but it's just like there's money that needs to be put into it. And it's like, if we're going to put more money into it, now's the time to get the new van that we should have probably gotten 2 years ago. So we will have, and Mr. Rogers speak, but we will have stories to tell in future episodes. And so with that, we can move into moments of joy. And I will say, yeah, we didn't recognize, obviously Ryan isn't here again. I think it's just time just gets away from us. And
this, I think it's just been so, I mean, I went to get my oil changed on
Friday.
Oh, it was, I'm sorry. You're right. It was last Friday. Today is Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday, right into the next.
Exactly. But we went to get the oil changed on Friday, and by Sunday, we had looked at what the reality was, and we had canceled all our plans. And so this is only a couple days since then. And so the excitement of potentially getting a new van, the frustration of having to get rid of Casper, and just the acceptance. We didn't even mention Ryan, our podcast producer. Unfortunately, is not with us today.
He will be the next two episodes. I'll say it now.
Absolutely, and he can share. He can share our excitement with our hopeful new van. But we were going to talk about moments of joy, and I think you, Dan, have his.
I have Ryan's moment of joy, and we will give him his time, just so it's not like he doesn't have like a stockpile of moments of joy for when he comes back. But he had just texted last night, and he said that what he said, it was just like he said, I just met a cat while walking, had no tail, but he was bouncy and fun. And I just think that's, you know, just a moment of joy where you just like, you know, you find just an animal to just up and
just up and then in my head I was like, he met a cat, and you know, that's so Ryan, because you know, that's who brought Bean into our life, was Ryan. So we met a fun cat with no tail. That's a cute.
I don't know if I've ever seen a cat with no tail.
No, and when he said he met a cat, I was thinking of like 1970s, like, you're a cool cat, Digman.
I am.
You are. So what about you, cool cat Digman? What's your moment of joy?
You said that you had one, and I was thinking, what was my moment of joy?
Oh, well, then I'll go.
You go, because I have.
I don't want to like blindside you like that, like a multiple sclerosis diagnosis or something. My moment of joy is selfish, but I took a shower today, and this is the first time since, not the first time I've showered, finished my thought, but this is June 1st, and I think I had COVID back in January, the end of January, which I've told you all about before, but my hair started falling out in big clumps right around the end of March. And so every time I would shower through March or April, May, I was just getting just really, I was very upset and very scared by the amount of hair that was falling out. But today I washed my hair and there was not a ridiculously huge clump of hair. And that was my moment of joy. I just remember saying to you, look, Dan, there's not a ton of hair. So if you are dealing with a COVID symptom of losing hair, I hope for you that it will be fairly quick, you know, a couple months, 2 months, I lost hair and now it seems to, knock wood, be a little more under control. And so that was my moment of joy. Did that give you enough time to think of yours?
Yeah, it did. Like my moment of joy, it really came from one of my college friends. Guy was a year ahead of me in college, but he had sent me a photo and he said, long story, how do I explain it? But Chuck he's back in Iowa and he lives like, you know, his home's probably like, you know, half hour from my hometown, Monticello. But just that Chuck had sent me a photo. He was out for a run because his son is in like AAU basketball and they were practicing up in Monticello, and this Chuck, to kill time while he's there, you know, running through my hometown, and just to see a picture of the football field from where I grew up is just, you know, kind of, I suppose maybe, is that like kind of a, gets me in touch with, you know, the fact that we're not going back to Iowa next weekend. I'm not saying I'm homesick, but it's just like, I don't see that stuff anymore. So it was fun. So it's like when Chuck sent that picture, it's like, why the heck are you in Monticello, Chuck? So.
And that's just pure happiness. And it's wrong to say, but I feel some level of guilt because it's my wheelchair and it's our wheelchair van.
But you know
what I mean? So I feel, I'm sorry and I'm happy that you found joy in Chuck's picture. And it's the reality that, knock wood, we will get a new van and we will go back to your family and see everyone absolutely. In a few months. And that's the nice thing about FaceTime, that we can connect with your family and phone calls. But it's good, and I'm just happy that we're not sitting on I-80 in a van that's falling apart.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, and I think that's just, you know, things are a long time coming and we should have remedied this before, but you're just like, I just don't want to have another van payment, but here we are and we'll move forward with it. And I think that's just, you know, the opportunity. It's like, yeah, it's a challenge and we had to cancel several of our trips, but at the same time, there's some excitement in getting a new vehicle. So.
Absolutely. And like we say, you know, we're together, we're moving forward. And with the van, we're going to be moving forward. And maybe we'll see Van Gogh some other time with the van that will actually go.
Absolutely. Well, thank you all again for taking the time to check in and listen. We are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman.
I'm Jennifer Digman.
And I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Take care. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and please tell others about it.
Be sure to subscribe today and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about.
And if you have something to contribute to the episode, questions, comments, concerns, you can email me, Ryan. The producer is actomspodcast@gmail.com.
And you can follow us on our blog, acoupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter @coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.